From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Greener Views, a unique media resource for information, education, consultation, and fun. Greener Views is a part of the Healthy Homecast Network and is brought to you exclusively by HealthyPainting.com and AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Each episode will introduce and connect you with services, products, practices, organizations, and groups that focus on the health, happiness, safety, well-being, charity, and community of all. Find us on the web at www.greenerviews.net. And now, your host, Daryl Whalen.
Good evening and welcome to episode 33 of Greener Views. I'm Daryl Whalen, here with Randy Parcell, audio engineer, Michael Schwartz, video engineer. Joining us are Drew Foster and Stefan Hansmeyer from Encompass Cottage Company. Greener Views is part of the Healthy Homecast Network, HealthyPainting.com, AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. We wanted to start mentioning that if you want to advertise, sponsor a program or an episode or donate, contact info@greenerviews.net or call 206-650-4587. This is our 33rd episode, and it's the first time we've made any kind of a shameless plea for any kind of financial support, but it's not going to stop us from doing it, and we love it. So let's see. How do I know our guests?
Shameless love.
Shameless love. This is not that program. Anyhow, so I know Stefan and Drew from the Encompass Construction, Encompass Cottage Company. I've known them for about 7.5 years now, and being a painting contractor and then being a construction company, we've had the opportunity to work together, and so far everything's been working out pretty good. And they're great contractors, and we're great painters, so it's a great match. So, guys, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to be here.
You guys can get into it. We're going to allow you to kind of play it however you want. Just tell us, what is Encompass Cottage Company? You can talk a little bit about the construction company maybe in the beginning and how it transitioned into the cottage company. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll start off with the Encompass Construction Company, which is the parent company. It's a design, build, residential remodeling firm with the focus of additions and interior renovations, second stories, and has grown to include ground-up construction now of detached accessory dwelling units, a.k.a. backyard cottages. About 2010 in Seattle, the municipal codes changed to allow detached structures on single-family lots of 4,000 square feet or more. And Stefan and I have built a few of those in the previous years before the codes changed under other opportunities, you could say. And then the city changed their codes, and we used that as an opportunity to start a second business. Cottage.
Yeah, we were real excited to start the cottage division because they're projects that are really fun, but they also create opportunities for people that you wouldn't otherwise have. I mean, if you own a single family lot in the city of Seattle or some of the other local municipalities, you essentially can build a small house in your backyard, and most of the municipalities let you do whatever you want to with them. So you can use them as a rental property, you can put your aging parent in there. You can house your kids when they're back from college, use it as a home-based business site. All those things are available to you. So it's a great opportunity to expand people's opportunities, their personal opportunities. It's also a nice way to increase density in the urban core, which is really important if you're trying to reduce the impact of sprawl in the environment. So we were stoked to get involved.
Yeah, great. I love it. Is there any one particular thing or a series of things that you knew about or heard about or you've seen going on that really inspired this and motivated this from outside of the other construction thing that you were doing? I know that myself in the last, maybe it's probably the last handful of years, 4 or 5 years, I've seen, I think I've even seen podcasts and people write books and blogs and everything about this tiny, I kind of saw it as this tiny house phenomenon, Are you familiar with any of that?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of cities, especially on the West Coast, that are really promoting backyard cottages as a way to increase urban density, create more affordable housing. And so, you know, if you just do a Google search, for example, you'll come up with a ton of stuff. But yeah, there's several books that have been written recently talking about the advantages of cottage housing, cottage communities, and backyard cottages in general.
Great. And I know that there's another guy that you work with that mm-hmm. has a big or a role or some capacity. And you want to talk about that a little
bit? We actually have two other partners in our efforts. One is Bruce Parker from Microhouse. He does our design and land use planning stuff. And then we also work with Husky Senior Care, Matt Long at Husky Senior Care, because what we're trying to do is offer a whole sort of collection of packages. So we can do the design, we can do the site development, but we can also complete the construction and then provide for folks who want to do aging at home or who have an elderly parent, for example, in working in conjunction with Husky Senior Care, we can bring them in to provide some in-home services as well.
Yeah, and we'll get into the, both of those things a little bit as we move on. So why don't you talk about how briefly about how both of you guys have gotten into this field of construction?
Well, really quick, my history is in the restaurant business to begin with. Started designing and building restaurants, and that's where I developed the passion for actually working with my hands and building things that would last a little bit longer than, you know, the plate of food that I was preparing for. And just through the experience of designing kitchens for restaurants that I got familiar with the layouts and what's important in a kitchen, and then started putting that into a residential home.
How about you?
I grew up in a family of architects and had gone to design school. And the first thing I thought when I graduated was I want to learn how to build houses, because that just sounded like fun. Actually, I had this theory that I wanted to, like, you know, build the off-the-grid compound. So I thought a good place to start would be to go build houses. So I got a job with a custom home builder and decided that I really enjoyed the process, the sort of the kinetic motion of construction, the interaction with clients, the subs, everything's just, it's a blast. I had bounced back and forth between being a project manager in IT and working as a carpenter. And one day I was in my cubicle typing out code, and I had a conversation with Drew on the phone, and he said, you know, I gotta build this deck for these people and I need some help. And I was like, you know, that sounds like a blast. So I took some vacation time and we built a deck together, and then I just couldn't stop.
Turned out to be more fun than writing out code.
Way more fun.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. The off-the-grid thing, I'm really, that's something that's a passion of mine. We had a woman on the last episode that we hadn't had a chance to get into it. We'll probably be talking to her again in the future. But she does straw bale housing and stuff like that.
Cool.
So I guess there's, on some of the islands and stuff around here, there's like communities of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. There are.
The cool thing I like about, there's a lot of things, but, you know, I've been, actually Drew and I are both from Ohio, and I think he's been out here for quite a bit longer than I have, but, you know, one of the cool things about Seattle is that it's really, really city-like and metropolitan, but you don't have to go far, and then you can get that off-the-grid kind of thing. So it's really, you know, it's a good place for the hippies and the conservatives to hang out.
One of the fun projects we did with the backyard cottage was we set it up for a photovoltaic system and a rainwater catchment system with the intention that all of the potable water within the cottage would be derived from the rainwater catchment system. Do share.
No. It's for the host.
Yeah. So let's see. So who would be... So, oh yeah, we're supposed to have somebody... Well, we did have somebody talking about solar stuff.
And oh, yeah?
They're supposed to come back. I think they're on the next episode talking about living walls and green walls and
stuff
really? Like
that. Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. So who would be the target clientele for somebody that's interested in one of these cottages or these backyard cottages? I mean, I know you mentioned some of the types of people already.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a backyard cottage can serve a lot of different roles. So, you know, aging in place. So an older parent, for example, you want to have them close. A college student who's returned home. Extra family members or rental property. We did a project recently where the clients built their backyard cottage and then use it as a vacation rental. And it's interesting to look at the numbers because their construction budget was about $150,000, and they're renting this two-bedroom cottage out for $850 a week as a vacation rental. So they'll turn a profit pretty quickly once they get the thing paid off.
Yeah, we just recently painted the whole inside, and we're going to go back next month and do the whole outside of a place in Guaymas Island, like right on the water, and that's exactly what they do. Mm-hmm. They're going to own it, but they're going to subsidize paying it by like mm-hmm. renting it off and stuff. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. What is the specific mission of Encompass Cottage Company and as well as the construction company?
Mm-hmm. Our mission has always been to dream big, build small, and live more. I think no matter what you're doing in life, if you carry your dreams with you, if you bring that into what you do, even at the smallest level, the smallest scale, if you bring your dreams with you, the end result is always more rewarding.
And since we have finite resources and finite land, the idea of building small makes sense. You know, take advantage of the infrastructure and the facilities and all the utilities, municipalities that are already in place for our land. So adding more density, so build small, and thus live more.
Live more.
Yeah.
Raise your standard of living.
That's right.
The quality of life.
I love it. Whenever you think big, and for me, outside of the box, and then your intentions are honorable, great things will happen.
It's like the bumper sticker, Imagine World Peace.
There you go. I think that the show, interviewing the forerunners of change, I mean, the most incredible things that have been created and discovered and stuff in life and over the years have been from people that have that think big, that think big, and not allowing people to inhibit them from all of their dreams. And although that there's, you know, there's definitely challenges and stuff in life, there's also a lot of beautiful things that have been manifested from thinking big and building small. And what was the part? Living what?
Living more.
Living more.
That's right.
Live more. I love it.
Imagine no limits.
So what are you the most passionate about when it comes to putting on your tool belts or not having your tool belts on or running your jobs or going to look at your jobs and overseeing the work and when it's all done, stepping back, and, you know, what do you do all this for? What are you most passionate about when it comes to all this work?
For me, it's two things. It's I really enjoy the process of transforming our environment in a positive way, but I also really enjoy creating a space where people can feel like they're doing something that's important, that they can enjoy, that they can take pride in. So when our subcontractors or employees are on the project, it's really important to me that they have, you know, a clean, organized work site, that things are spelled out clearly, and that when they're going through the process, they're feeling like they're accomplishing something that's going to make a difference in somebody's life.
Personally, I enjoy the part of being able to provide, you know, a service and a final product to somebody else that fulfills their ideas of dreaming big, you know, and living more. You know? And sometimes that's through building small, and sometimes just through building.
Great. Yeah, I recently got to work on a project with you, and I know that they were just ecstatic, though. The basement in West Seattle, yeah. I mean, they just were, like, loving it, and all the cool stuff that you put in there and everything. It's really neat to be in the attitude where... you know, I grew up in, where I grew up, a lot of people I know had jobs that they, you know, one thing that they always say is it's important to get up in the morning and go to a job and do something that you really, really love. That's really about living more to me. And to be able to do something that I've been doing for so long, and I think I've been coming out around to it a lot more from doing the podcast and plus even having the opportunity to work with folks like you, because not everybody has that attitude, especially in the construction business. Mm-hmm. It's all about, you know, just getting it done and getting the money and moving on. And I mean, I know that's a part of it. We've got lives and families and things that we want to do and things that we want to prepare for, but that's not all of it, to, you know, at least not to me. And that leads up to the new, brand new question that I got for the podcast. Aside from the profit, which is a given for a business, what's another important way that you can measure the successes?
I expect you to say the successes of your business.
The successes
I was waiting
business.
For those last few words. Again, I think it comes back to community again. Are we building community? Are we helping our clients meet their objectives? Do the people who come to the job site, the people who visit the finished product when it's done, do they all get a sense of, you know, somebody put their heart and soul into this thing? I think if that carries through in the final work, and if the people who did the work are proud of what they've done or feel good about what they've done, then we've done our job well. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, you know, do quality craftsmanship. I mean, I think if you're a professional business, you do quality craftsmanship. That's a given.
You
got to take it beyond that. It's about taking ownership of the project. It's about, you know, really having a connection, being a stakeholder in the whole process.
I would say the measure of success of the business for me too is also the quality of life that I get to enjoy as a result of being a business owner. I put the attention to my clients and their projects, turn them around and develop something for them that they enjoy and they love and they can keep. And I can walk away from that with, you know, the opportunity to
go home after a good day's work and put your feet up and feel good about it.
Yeah. Yeah, just a hard day's work and a fair day's pay, and everybody's good. You know.
Great. So let's get into a little bit of the terminology on some of the stuff I really wanted to talk to you about. Let's start out with multi-generational housing. Mm-hmm. What exactly does that mean, and you know, why is that important, and how's that related to your company?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's very common almost anywhere in the world that there are different generations of the same family living under the same roof. And that was pretty common in the United States until after the Second World War. But, you know, in the 50s, as America became a more affluent society, people started to move off on their own. And I don't know if I would necessarily say that it's all about the current economic condition, but I think there may also be some shift in values taking place. But there are more people who want to gather their families together again and live together. That's part of aging in place a backyard cottage is an aging-in-place option, is that, you know, if you want to be close to your family, if you want to be able to take care of your folks as they get older, a backyard cottage is a great solution, or a, you know, an ensuite or something like that, so that you can keep all those folks together, support one another, keep the community and the family tight. And yeah, I guess, you know, maybe that saves some money too.
How about you? Any thoughts on that?
Actually, I was flashing back to a seminar where I learned something. It was regarding weatherproofing and weatherization of an exterior. And the question that was thrown out was, after you have cut a tree and turned it into lumber, if you keep that lumber dry, how long will that lumber last? How many years? And there were people that were, you know, saying, oh, I don't know, 50 years, 75 years. And the answer is forever.
I was going to say, yeah.
The answer is forever.
Forever.
And so being carpenters, building homes out of wood primarily, you know, we see this idea of a structure being built, for instance, one time with the proper design that can take into account all sorts of multiple uses and multiple age requirements in one structure, and then that structure surviving indefinitely for generations of people to use. You know, so that's multi-generational housing to me.
Sweet, I like it. Yeah. I like it. It's a little different term on it. You know, it's all about as long as a structure is like properly maintained, And I think that's a big problem that we have in our society. We have this like quick and disposable society. Mm-hmm. So not only is, I'm generalizing, but not only is stuff often just built like really quick and not properly, but that is very common, but then it's not maintained properly. Mm-hmm. And then that's why there's houses that not only are they not indefinitely a viable structure, but they're falling apart after maybe even a couple decades or sooner. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that sort of stuff that I'm sure gets to both of us at that core level. Like, how are you going to do that if you don't do it right?
Yeah.
But it's job security too, I guess.
It's a
double-edged sword, right?
It's a double-edged sword, yeah. It's a bizarre wheel. Is there anywhere that somebody else, do you guys have any other resources or ways people can find out about this multi-generational housing stuff? I mean,
do a Google search, you'll get a ton of stuff. Yeah. It's all over. I saw some stuff on NBC News that did a story on it. U.S. News and World Reports had an article recently. It's all over the place.
Yeah, no, it's really neat. I mean, I know that you guys have been doing this construction because I've been doing some stuff with you for, like I said, almost 8 years. But this is just recently when we talked about doing the podcast again, we started talking about that. And it's a big thing for me because not only in the United States, I mean, in other cultures and stuff, the United States is generally pretty new compared to a lot of countries and cultures that, you know, the multi-generational housing is like just like the way it is. There's not even like a thought about other way, and we have kind of gone away from it. Mm-hmm. And the idea, and I think that's really had a big effect just on our general social behavior and our family structure and everything in general. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. I had some other thing about it. I wanted to get into that you mentioned the word, but let's talk a little bit more about aging in place. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's a little separate than the multi-generational mm-hmm. thing. Let's mm-hmm. talk about aging in place. Mm-hmm.
I know from talking to folks who are getting up there in their years that a lot of them don't really treasure the idea of being shipped off to a nursing home or a care facility. You know, they'd much rather stay at home. And for a lot of them, they'd much rather stay at home with their families. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean they're at home alone, although it could be. So aging in place is a catchphrase. There are some other phrases that basically mean the same thing, but the whole concept is that as you get older, you want to stay in your home where you're comfortable and feel secure for as long as possible. So that's really what that's about. In fact, there's a whole philosophy of design built around that idea. So you're designing homes to help people age, making things, you know, barrier-free access, ADA requirements and showers and bathrooms and those kinds of things that get built into a home. So actually a lot of the backyard cottages that we've designed with Bruce from Microhouse are designed so that they can accommodate someone who's mobility impaired.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And I think that there's, do you have something to want to say?
Well, that also feeds into the notion of sustainability.
Yeah.
Really does.
You know, I'm loving all this. I think that, and I like the idea that, you know, that you put in there about, you know, these houses can potentially last forever. And there's got to be a way to create these things and to make them function in a way where the age, you know, we're certainly aging in place, but also where it can support the function or the needs of any age. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot more talk about that kind of stuff in general. I mean, there was a time when I was little that people that had handicaps and anybody that was different was ridiculed and mocked and made fun of. And, you know, this quote-unquote PC world, which I'm a fan of, by the way, because I don't see anybody as being any better or worse than just because of their limitations. But we're creating a way for everybody to coexist. Mm-hmm. And the age is one thing, but there's also some of the other challenges and mm-hmm. stuff. And sure. I think that's like an amazing thing. I mean, now that I'm getting older, I like the idea about the aging in place because I know that our society and stuff, if we choose to look at it that way, has a focus more on like the younger people and stuff. And you know, it didn't always used to be like that. Mm-hmm. The old folks used to be like the wise people and the people that you wanted to, you know, honor and keep mm-hmm. around and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. you guys are creating a way to actually do that. That's really, mm-hmm. really cool.
That's what we're hoping.
Participating in it to some degree. Yeah. What's so bad about that, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure we could find out more about that from getting on all the old internets. So, well, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with the rest of the interview.
You are listening to Greener Views.
Gravity connects me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly. And gravity connects me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe. With naive mind shield like a helmet, they would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue disillusioned little. In the vision of one resides all, destroy the individual, for this is critical. The self ain't everything, hands to grasp, to cling, to mask material vastly shipwrecked beings. At last, release the greed amassed with capitalist tasks and contact. The mass communication is all we have in dwindling fast.
All right, we're back. We always joke about how we get down and these guys were off with it, breakdancing and stuff at the break. They were really kicking it.
Oh, I got, yeah.
Drew was working up an extra sweat with that breakdancing.
I'll tell you, man. Good thing we got the
so we're back here. Welcome back to episode 33, right?
Already.
Greener Views, and we're here with Stefan and Drew from Encompass Cottage Company, and get right back into the questions. So we're going to look into the future a little bit.
Crystal ball.
The crystal ball. Let's get the crystal ball out here. And, so what positive changes and what kind of impact will your company be making in the future?
Well, I would like to say that we will help integrate denser communities in Seattle with the backyard cottages, allow for individuals to pursue investment opportunities perhaps that they might not otherwise be able to pursue because they could build a separate structure on your single family lot and you could rent it out, yeah? So you could become a landlord. If you want to do that, you want to aspire to be a landlord, that's one way to do it.
Well, how about you? What do you see as the positive changes and the impacts that you and your business are going to make in the future?
I like to think that we're playing a role in a larger movement to increase density and create opportunities for people, make more dynamic communities. I don't know that we're necessarily, we're certainly not leading the charge in that, but I like to think that we're playing a role in that process. And hopefully, if we keep building those kind of communities and keep focusing on urban density, that in 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, the folks who come along behind us will have just as many opportunities for themselves as we have now. Because I think the fear I have is that if we, you know, go in the other direction, that we're actually going to be creating less opportunity for future generations.
Yeah, I believe whenever you're participating in it all, that you are a part of the charge, by the way. So, we're going to get even a little more hippy dippier than that. This is the part of the interview where we get into the heart and soul of you folks.
Esoteric part. Okay.
So who or what has had the greatest impact on your life so far? Start with Drew.
Who or what?
So far in your life.
Who? Well, you know. I think parents have had a big impact on, I'd say musicians, some, believe it or not, some musicians, some poets or some poet musicians, certainly some businessmen and economists, and I don't know, wouldn't use their names really, but you know, some of the theories and some of the ideas that are out there helped shape and mold me. Life is interesting, as you know. You don't always grow up when you think you're supposed to grow up. And then when you find yourself growing up, you become something you never thought you would be. So it's kind of one of those things for me, maybe.
Sweet.
Interesting. I'm going to have to say parents first. Absolutely. Then I'd have to give some credit to some friends, some business associates. My brother, my wife, my daughter.
Family.
Yeah.
Great.
My grandma. Yeah.
I want to say all that too.
Cool. Yeah.
Business guys.
Yeah. So how about, what is your personal mission statement or your motto for your own personal life?
Treat people fairly and help them along their path in life.
How about you, Drew? What's the Drew Foster motto?
Oh, I'll steal one. I'd just say, do unto others as you would have done
the
unto
golden
you.
Rule.
And
that's a good one to steal.
And keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Keep is a it good simple. One too.
You know,
I'm on board with all of those. Great. So let's talk about some logistical stuff. Give us web links, emails, phone numbers. How do people get a hold of you?
Well, our business phone number is 206-933-5965. Is that right?
No.
So whoever, don't call that number. Yeah. Whoever answers the phone is probably going to be a little ticked off.
They're not going to. Okay, so that would be error code 206.
933-8965.
8965.
Okay.
That's not even going to ask about what the hesitation was on the phone.
No, it's a 5161.
That's our office line, and you know, I don't call the office very often.
I know, well, that's we should have an office.
Why don't you give us the emails and
I'll tell you what,
and the websites while
we
stuff
we have enough. We have some phone numbers that are out there. You could Google Encompass Cottage Company,
yeah,
Encompass
right
Construction.
It comes right up.
You
it's
will
amazing.
Find a link on there that provides a contact information to our...
Here's the phone number.
Here it is. See, we weren't right, were we?
206-933-5961.
It was the one.
Okay.
I knew we didn't have the one in there.
Okay. What about website?
Well, we're successful
emails?
Despite the fact that we don't know our own phone
That's
number,
a good sign.
Or our own names.
Or sometimes our names.
I think I've read about that in some of the biggest business books.
It helps if you're living at home because you can't get lost.
Right. And
as
we don't want to
get... answer the phone when it rings.
And return calls.
And return.
You know, it's the simple stuff. I got told that just the other day.
Yeah.
How many people are you talking to? Well, right now, only one, because you're the only one that's called me back.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm like, really? How many people have you called? Three.
Wow.
Really? Maybe the times are getting better. You know, no one wants to work. I don't know.
How about websites, emails?
Drew and or Stefan, Drew at or Stefan at Encompass, which is ncompass-llc.com. That'll get either one of us, depending on who you think is more your style.
And then encompass-llc.com? Or?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, or encompasscottages.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll have all that on the, that should all be on there.
On the link there?
Yeah. So what about any upcoming events or offers or information that you want to get out there before we go?
Well, we're going to have a booth at the... Sustainable West Seattle section of the West Seattle Street Fair this summer.
That's
and,
in July, right?
It's July. I think it's first or second weekend of July, second, I think.
Yep.
And I'm going to be giving a presentation on designing and building green roofs at that, I think it's on Saturday.
Once we get through the summer building season, we'll be reestablishing our monthly cottage forums and workshops where we give a 1 hour presentation on the uses and how to design, build, plan a backyard cottage project, as well as integrate into that, you know, the possibility of aging in place
yeah.
and sustainability issues. and all that stuff. And that usually happens in fall and in winter. And then through spring and summer, we're usually building.
Great. Well, hey, any final words or helpful advice that you can leave us with?
I think this is a great program that you put together, Dale. I mean, this is really cool. This is another great way to build community and bring all the people, as you're calling them, the forerunners of change, together in a virtual space to help other people in our community understand what's possible. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're quite welcome.
I'm actually very humbled to be included in your program. The changes you've made with your business and the direction you've taken your company is inspirational to me as well. And I think it's only fitting that we continue to go out into the community and do our business together, you know, with all the others that we're doing that with, you know. It makes us stronger. It makes our team more powerful. It makes our product superior to those that just slap them out, bang them up, and try to get out, you know.
And if we set that example, then that makes our communities stronger.
Well, it's totally, is that the right word, cyclical? Where it's like you guys and you, when I met you, and then I met Stefan shortly after that, I mean, you had helped in a lot of ways and inspired me and participated in the stuff that I got going. So the truth of the matter is none of us are doing any of this stuff on our own. Some of us like to think so sometimes, but then life will tell us a little differently or show us a little differently, and I want it.
That's true. Right.
Yep.
Great.
That's true.
Well, hey, you've been listening to episode 33 of Greener Views. Thank you, Stefan and Drew, for joining us.
Thanks, Dan.
On our next show, we're going to be talking to... it'll be episode 34, and I know that we're going to be talking about green roofs and living roofs and living walls, and I forgot the guy's name, but that's okay. It's from Solterra Systems.
Oh, Brian.
No, this is Kevin Mullen. Kevin Mullen, and on behalf of Randy and Michael and myself, thank you all for checking out Green Interviews. We really want feedback, so email or call us with ideas about guests and topics and opinions about the show. We really love people to consider advertising or sponsoring or donating a little bit of something. You could contact us at info@greeninterviews.net or call us at 206-650-4587. Check out ambrosiadigitalmedia.com, greeninterviews.net. youtube.com/greenerviews, healthyhomecast.com, and I think that's it. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Greener Views is part of the Healthy Homecast Network. Check out all their conscientious and sustainably focused podcast programs and businesses at healthyhomecast.com. Greener Views is created, developed, and produced by Daryl Whalen. Our audio engineer is Randy Parcell. Our video producer is Michael Schwartz of AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Music for this episode was provided by SlapJazz.com, DanFajans.Bandcamp.com, and JDHobson.com. Your feedback is important. Please feel free to contact us with any comments or questions, including suggestions for guests and program topics. You can call us at 206-650-4587. Or send a direct email to info@greenerviews.net. Be sure to check back often. New episodes coming soon.